Okay, tonight is and Monday night, March 26th, or Dalet Nisan. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Sukkah, bottom of Mem Hei Omid Aleph. Okay, Rabotai, we're on Daf Mem Hei Omid Aleph. A very light, easy Gemara tonight. Nothing conceptually difficult, and even a tad of Agadata in there tonight. We're up to the Gemara. Tana. The Mishnah had stated that they went down to a place called Motza in order to gather the Aravos. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Makom Kalanya Heva. This place was Makom Kalanya, says Rashi, a place exempt from government taxes. Good place to live. No government taxes. So there are many ball players who sign their contracts based on whether or not there's an income tax or not. One of the advantages of playing for the Texas Rangers, there's no income tax in Texas. So this place was exempt from taxes. Vitana didan, my time a korole motza. Why do they call it Motza? Aida the Mapik Mikarga the Malka Korole Motza. Because it's exempt from the tax of the king, it was called Motza. A find. An interesting discovery. Oh, I found this place. So it was called Motza, not because of anything connected to the Aravos, but rather it was an unusual place to live, based on the fact that it was tax-exempt status. Okay. Uba'in v'zokvin osan b'tzidei ha-mizbeach. They now placed the aravos b'tzidei ha-mizbeach. The Gemara is going to operate on the assumption that the aravos have to drape over the top of the mizbeach, and they are not permitted to touch the top of the Mizbeach, the roof of the Mizbeach at all. So they're going to have to be long enough to protrude over the Mizbeach at least one Amma. And so that's the calculations which the Gemara is now going to enter into as to how tall these Aravos were. Uba'in v'zokfin asan b'tzidei ha-Mizbeach. Tana. Rabos v'arukos ugvohos achad asar Amma. They were rabos. Rashi says, I have no idea what the word rabos contributes in this particular discussion. Plentiful. They were arukos, very long. Ugvohos, achad asar amma. They were 11 amos high. In amma, there is a famous machloikas whether an amma is a foot and a half or 2 feet. But it's so it's quite a bit, quite a very long arava in any event if it's 11 amos high. Why? Kidei shiyu gochos al hamizbeach ama, so that they overlap over the mizbeach at least an ama. Now the Gemara is going to explain how this is possible. Omar mareimar mishum marzutra shma mina. We can derive from here al hayisod manachlohu, that the aravos were not placed on ground level, but were placed on the mizbeach itself, on the part of the mizbeach identified as the yisod. And he will explain in just a second. The isal kedaitach aara manachlohu. If you would like to believe that it is that the aravos are standing on the ground itself, isal kedaitach aara monachlohu, michte, let us say. The construction of the mizbeach was done in the following fashion. Ola amma, vikines amma, zehu yisod. What they did was, they made a block on the bottom, and then one amma up, they made another block on top of it, which was not as wide as the original block. So if you place two blocks on top of one another, and the second one is narrower than the first, automatically you have a little ledge from the first block. That's called the Yesod. So one Amma up was the Yesod. Ola Chamesh, it now went up an additional five Amos. Vekines Amma. Zehu Sovev. So after it, you made a third box, and after going up five Amot, it gathered in another Amma. Namely, it was the third box was narrower than even the second box. So the second box now creates another ledge around it called the Sovev. Allah Shalosh, now it protrudes another three Amos high, the Mizbeach does. Zehu Makom Hakronos. And Gochos Al HaMizbeach, Al Gabe HaMizbeach, Hechi Mishkachas La, Elolav Shmamina, Ayesod Manach Lehu Shmamina. So let's do simple calculus. Right? If the bottom, if you go from the ground level, so now you have one Amma till the Yesod. Now you have five more, which is six Amos. Then it goes up three more, which is nine Amos. Plus each of the gap itself of the Yesod and the Soviv are an Amma itself. They don't count in terms of the Mizbeach. So that's 11 already. And it has to drape over the Mizbeach by one Amma. Well, if the Aravos were on the ground level, that would mean that the Aravos have to be a lot more than 11 Amos high. Because in order to drape over an Amma, not touch the wall, it would have to be longer. Apparently, the Zakifas Arava was not done where the Aravos were placed on the ground. They were already placed on the Yesod, which gives them one Amma height advantage already. So once they are 11, the balance of the menorah is another 10, of the Mizbeach is another 10. Therefore, the gap is covered by the last Amma on top, bending over on top of the Mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Avo, Mikra, how do I know that Aravos have to be draping over the Mizbeach? How do I know that? Amar Rabbi Shne Emar, Isru Chag Ba'avosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. Isru Chag Ba'avosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. Somehow you're doing something on the Yom Tov of Avot. What Yom Tov has Avotim? Sukkos. Avot is not the Haravos, they're the Hadassim. Hadassim are Anaf Eitz Avot. But it's the Yom Tov that has Avotim. What are you supposed to do? Isrucha ad Karnos HaMizbeach. They somehow should drape over over above and beyond the horns of the Mizbeach itself. Not exactly the most compelling proof that the Aravos have to be over the Mizbeach. When there is no mention of the Arava, there is a mention of the Hadas. So why don't you come up with a halacha that you have to put Hadassim on the Mizbeach and let them, you know, drape over the Mizbeach. So it's, I haven't seen much, nobody comments, you know, what exactly is the compelling nature of this particular pasuk to prove that Zakifas Arava drapes over the Mizbeach from this particular pasuk.
Where did Hadassim come from?
Avosim.
Refers more to Hadassim than to...
Because the pasuk calls a Hadas Hanaf Eitz Avot. So that's the only reference whatsoever that that phrase might be referring to Sukkos. And then, once it's Tukkos, he's talking about the Arava, and he, okay, That's the way drushas work. Yeah. Yeah. Omar Rabbi Yevo, Omar Rabbi Elazar. Kol hanotel lulav ba'agudo v'hadas ba'avoso ma'ale olav hakasov ki'ilu banam mizbeach v'hikruv olav shine'emar isru chag ba'avosim atarnos ha'mizbeach. Anybody who takes a lulav ba'agudo and makes a tie around it, to tie the hadasim and the aravos, and anybody who takes a hadas be'avoso, ma'ala olav akasov ki'ilu banam mizbeach. So here, what's happened? What does avoso mean? So if you look, the way the Torah defines the hadas, it's anaf eitz avot. The way Rashi and Chumash and others interpret this, it's defining what is this anaf eitz avot. What anaf eitz? It's of a tree, a branch of a tree that has three leaves coming out, what we call mishulash. So anybody who goes ahead and is make sure on the yontif of Sukkos that he will take his lulav ba'aguda and will make sure that he has avoso, it's as if he brought a korban. Because our pasuk says, Isru chag ba'avosim ad karnas ha'mizbeach. So the way Mefarshim explained this is as follows. In each case, it requires some extra effort on our part. We have paskin lulav ein sarach agad. You don't have to tie the lulav and the hadasim and the aravos together. You can take them separately. So if an individual goes ahead and follows the hidur mitzvah of igud, so that's considered you're really dedicated to this mitzvah, and therefore we give you credit as if you are bana mizbeach and you offered a korban. And what about avoso? So the Ran, they all say the same thing. Of the four minim, the hardest one to find a kosher min is hadasim. Hardest to kosher. And that happens to be true. I mentioned this last week. Before they used to sell the hadasim in packages already sealed, where each one is a mishulash, you could spend, the shul would bring up packs and packs of arava, of hadasim, and maybe 10% were mishulashim. And you had to rely on sometimes, one of the three branches, you know, ola echad, bevad echad was enough. So it's very difficult to find hadasim, which are mishulashim, rubo from top to bottom. So the Gemara is now, Rabbi Yevo is now offering a praise. Somebody goes through the effort, spends so much time to make sure that he has all three aravos, which are totally mishulash. Under those circumstances, we give you credit, ki'ilu bana mizbeach, v'hikruv alav karban, based on the fact that it says, isru chag ba'avosim, isru mean to tie together, ba'avosim, with the hadas, which is three leaves. Ad karnas ha'mizbeach. So it's as if you placed the dam on the... Where do you sprinkle the dam? On the kronos. So it's as if you went ahead and sprinkled your blood on the keren of the mizbeach, so you get credit for this. Amar Rab Yirmiya Mishum Rab Shimon ben Yochi v'Rab Yochanan Mishum Rab Shimon HaMechuzi Mishum Rab Yochanan HaMechuzi. Okay, glad we got that out of the way. Kol ha'ose isur lechag ba'achila ushtia ma'ale olav hakasov ki'ilu bana mizbeach v'hikriv olav korban. Anybody who engages in isur lechag, Rashi offers two interpretations. Let's take a look at Rashi. Isur lechag, aguda lechag. Somehow you tie the yom tov. What does it mean, tie the yom tov? Be'achila ushtia. Shikore lechag oneg b'machal u'b'mishta. That somehow you make a point of doing something, tying oser with machal u'mishta. Rashi doesn't really explain what he has in mind. So the Marsha says that a very healthy lesson, despite the fact that there is a mitzvah of Oneg Yom Tov and a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, that means that people can take advantage and simply pig out. And we know that there is a halacha of Ein Simcha Ela B'Basa V'Yayin. So what will you do? You'll consume a lot of wine. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, no, make an oser, tie it up a little, don't let it go wild. Engage in some degree of moderation and restriction. Despite the fact that there is a mitzvah of Oneg Yom Tov, nonetheless, put some boundaries on it. And that's how he interprets what it means, Asu Aguda Lechag. Put a tie on the Yom Tov, because normally the Yom Tov expresses itself with excessive eating. Here, you're not supposed to engage in excessive eating, but rather in moderation. So if a person recognizes that even though there is a mitzvah to eat, because you can use the mitzvah as an excuse to pig out and to get drunk. Torah said to I have to drink, so you keep drinking. So even under those circumstances, if you engage in some moderation, that will be once again considered for you as if you built a mizbeach. That's one interpretation. Yeah. Second interpretation, v'yesh oimrim, no, yom shel achar achag. It means you take a day of achila and shtia and you carry that over to the next day of Yom Tov, what we call Isru Chag. That if you somehow inject an element of Yom Tov into the day after Yom Tov, that's what he means of putting an aguda around the Chag. By extending, you take a theme of the Yom Tov and incorporate it with the next day, which is an ordinary weekday. And here, many Rishonim have elaborated. So it starts, the Shibale HaLeket in Siman Reish Samach Beis writes, Afilu b'motzoi Yom Tov, tzorich Adam lismoach, you have to be happy, ulemai behesped v'tainis. You're not allowed to fast on the day after Yom Tov, nor are you permitted to engage in a eulogy. Dechsiv isru chag, asu isru lechag. And he brings a proof from Sefer Nehemiah, where Ezra makes the following statement. Dechsiv Ezra, ubiyom esrim v'arba lachodesh hazer, ne'esfu b'nei Yisrael b'tzom u'b'sakim. On the 24th day of the month of Tishrei, Am Yisrael gathered for fast and wearing sackcloths. 24th day. Says the Yerushalmi in Avodah Zarah, why didn't they do it on the 23rd day of the month of Tishrei? Sukkot ends on the 22nd. 7 days of Yom Tov, 15th to the 21st. Shmini Atzeres is the 22nd. Okay, so you can't fast on Yom Tov. But after Yom Tov, why don't you fast on the 23rd? Why Dafka the 24th? Says the Yerushalmi, because there is a halacha of Isru Chag, that you're not permitted to fast on the day after Yom Tov. And as a result, they went ahead and waited until the next day. And therefore he writes, and he concludes, Al kein nohagu shelo lipo pinehen be'isru chag. Therefore today, it's also a practice not to recite tachnun on isru chag. The Rabbeinu Yeshaya, another one of the Bali HaTosfos, in Maseches Chagiga, says, no, he writes, Umutarin behesped v'tainis. And that you're allowed to engage in hesped and kindness on the day after Yom Tov. And people ask on him. There's a Gemara which says as follows. Ma'asa shemeis Alaksa b'Lud. A person by the name of Alaksa died in the city of Lud. And Uba'u kol Yisrael l'softo. And all of the people of Lud came to offer eulogies for this Alaksa. V'lo hinichon Rabbi Tarfon b'nei shiyomtov shel atzeres haya. Rabbi Tarfon didn't allow them to make a hesped because it was a yomtov shel atzeres. Asks Rishonim. You mean to tell me, without Rabbi Tarfon, they would have made a hesped on Yontif? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows you're not allowed to make a hesped on Yontif. So why did Rabbi Tarfon have to stop them? Says the Rabbeinu Yeshaya, what happens? No, it was the day after Yom Tov. And since it was the day after Yom Tov, they thought that what? That you're allowed to make a hesped. So Rabbi Tarfon had to stop them. No hesped today. No hesped today. Just because today is the day after Shavuos. And what is the reason why? Because it's called Yom Tivoach. The day after Shavuos, not just an ordinary Yisroel Chag, but it's called Yom Tivoach. And here is an interesting machloikis as to why it's called Yom Tivoach. There is a machloikis in Maseches Beitza between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel when the Torah tells us that we're obligated to bring Karbanos on Yom Tov, Aliyah L'Regel, an Olasri and a Shammai Chagiga, which of the Karbanos can be brought on Yom Tov itself. So Shammai says, you're not permitted to bring the Ola. Why can't you bring the Ola? Because it has no Tzorech Lachem. And the Torah says, Ach Hashir Yechol Lecho Nefesh, Hu Levado Yeyaseh Lachem, Lachem V'loy L'Gavaya. You're only allowed to do for yourself, you're not allowed to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're not allowed to bring a Korban Ola. The Shlomim, in theory, you could bring because that has a chelek adam. But then Beis Shammai says, don't even bring the Shlomim either, because it has to be exclusively for lachem, not even a combination. And Hillel says, of course you can bring the Shlomim, you can even bring the Ola, because it shouldn't be that our stomachs are full and our Kodesh Baruch Hu's kitchen is empty. That's not right. That you leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kitchen empty. So we bring both Karbanos on Yontif. So people ask the question, everybody asks the question, every other Yom Tov, so according to Beis Hillel, is there ever a need to shech the Karban immediately after Yontif? No. Absolutely not. According to Shammai, you're never allowed to be makriv the Karbanos regel on Yom Tov. You have to bring it the next day. So, but Sukkos and Pesach is Chol HaMoed. So it's still Yom Tov and you don't have to dedicate a separate day in order to be Mekayim Mitzvos of Aliyah L'Regel. You'll do it on Chol HaMoed. But Shavuos has no Chol HaMoed. So if you can't bring, it's a very odd thing. That there's a Korban you have to bring on the Yom Tov and you're not allowed to bring it on Yom Tov. So Sukkos and Pesach, you can say it's born a Chol HaMoed, which is of course is part of the Yom Tov. But Shavuos, you have to bring a Korban and you can't bring it on Yom Tov. So you had to bring it the next day. So that day became known as Yom Tivoach, and as a result, Rabbi Tarfon said, this is a major Yom Tov, and you are not permitted to engage in eulogies on that particular day. According to Beis Hillel, who says that on Yom Tov you are allowed to engage in Shechita, why does he need a special Yom Tovoach? The answer is, because of the volume of Karbanos, it simply could not have been brought on the Mizbeach that very same day. Just impossible. So they needed at least an additional day after Yom Tov, even according to Hillel, who allowed it. This day also absorbed some of the workload of the Karbanos, and it too was designated as a Yom Tovoach. The Tur in Simin Tov Tzadik Dalet quotes that it's Asur to engage in Hesped and Tanis based on this source, and quotes it only for the Yontif of Shavuos. Only for the Yontif of Shavuos is there some significance to the Yisroel Chag, because of this Gemara, which explains what happened to the Karbanos. But he does not quote it in relationship to Matzoi Sukkos and Matzoi Pesach. The Gaon, in his commentary in Shulchan Aruch, on Tav Tzadik Dalet, says no, it applies equally to all of the Yomim Tovim. Equally to all of the Yom Tovim. Despite the fact that it's listed only here, and the Rav Yah then suggests, and many have this minog as well, that if it's related to the korban feature of a shvuas, then it shouldn't be limited only to day number one after shvuas. Because we actually know that there are shisha days, 6 days for tashlumin. Exactly. That if you didn't get to the Beis HaMikdash on time for the Yantav of Shavuos, you have up to 6 days not to, to bring the Karban. And that's many shuls have that practice, that for Sivan, they don't say Tachnun until the 13th day of the month of Sivan. Shavuos plus additional 6 days. Because of the element that you could bring, could be makriv the korban, but that again would only support something after a shvuas, because after sukkahs there's no tashlumin, because the tashlumin of sukkahs is chol hamoed and shmini atzeres. There is no makeup after Pesach. After shvi'i shel Pesach, you didn't bring it. Tough dots. So it's a little difficult, but that's why the Torah limits it only to shvuas. But the practice, the universal practice, is like the Gaon, and we observe an Isser Hesped in Tainus. At least the rabbi will say so at the beginning of the Hesped. You're not allowed to make a Hesped. Aber. And you won't make a Kelmali. You won't make a Kelmali. Unless, of course, as I always said, you go to Broyers. Broyers Hesped, Ande, you don't have to feed the meter. 1 minute, one pericatel, and you're out of there. They never break the rule. Never ever break the rule. Any date you're not allowed to have a hesped, the whole levaya takes under 30 seconds. One parak of Tehillim, and you're out of there. Out of there.
Is the basic source of Yisrachar related to Ezra Nehemiah?
That would be the Tanakh source for it.
And which chag are they referring to in that source?
That chag happened to be Sukkos. That they didn't start fasting until they were fasting. He called a day of fast on the 24th day of the month of Tishrei.
And so that'll be the source of Tanakh. What's the is this the source of the extending?
This is it. It's called Isru Chag. It's darshan based on this phrase Isru Chag. And that's what he says. That anybody who makes a tie, you tie on another day onto the Yom Tov. And that's called Isru Chag Ba'achila Ushtiya. This is the basis of it. It's the entire basis of it.
And the Baal Tosfos who said he would make a Hesped, so what is the answer to all these sources? And
he says, it's a Gadita. It's a Gadita. That's all. It's a Gadita. Because he quotes a mission in Megillas Tainus, where in Megillas Tainus, which is a collection of all of the days of the year that you're now at a fast, and Bezman HaMikdash, there were dozens of them surrounding activity. So there were all of the days, the Lola Mispod Bahon, and there were days in which you were not allowed to fast before or after. Before the event or after the event. And the rule of thumb that the Megillas Tainus says, if you have a day which is ordained Behesped Midrabanan, so in order to make it also Chizuk LeDivrayim, they said you're not allowed to have a hesped the day before and the day after either. To show you that this has got some intensity. But a day in which is usur v'hesped v'tainas midda oraisa, divrei Torah ain't tzrichim chizuk, and as a result, there's no necessity to legislate the day after. So Megillas Tainus, which should be the authoritative book on Tainus rules and regulations, says that on a day in which is Asur Midoraisa to fast, the day after you're allowed to fast. Midoraisa, you're now allowed to fast on Yom Tov. So that you can infer from that the day after Yom Tov, you are allowed to fast. That's why he disagrees and claims, this is all I got it is. Very nice, but you can't postulate halacha. That's halacha, Megillas Tainus. Yeah.
The whole context by Sukkos of Shmini Atzeres is itself a extra day. It's stay aside from the Yom Echad, stay an extra day.
Correct, but that's a Doraisa day.
Right.
That's the way it's explained homiletically midoraisa, Atzeres tiyolachan. Right, right. So then, what we need another day for? Okay. Okay.
The people who do Bahav, the Makbidam Bahav, so that if Monday falls, that is Yisru Chag, they don't.
Bahav we never do until after Rosh Chodesh. Because our minhag is not to say tachnun until the end of Rosh Chodesh, by both Sukkot and Pesach. So therefore, Bahab is always after Chodesh Cheshvan and after Chodesh Iyar. Always Iyar. They always look to make it on Yom HaTzmaut whenever they can. They do it on Yom HaTzmaut. Yeah, they do, but it's after the 13th. After the 13th is Bahab. That's correct. Yeah. And many claim that the basis of Bahab is that it's in Ezra. That why is Ezra summoning a fast after Sukkot? And some explain because the people were pigging out, and so although there's a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov, people, it became too much of a celebration, and therefore you require a tzom to get your compass back to focus on spiritual behavior. Lama gein weiter. Omar Chizkia, Omar Rabbi Yir. Rabbi Yirmiya, Mishum Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, Kol Hamitzvos Kulon Ein Adam Yotzei Bohen El Derech Gedilasan. Any mitzvah that involves something from the ground, you can only be mekayim the mitzvah if you perform that mitzvah in the manner in which it grows. Shine'emar Atzei Shitim Omdim. You're supposed to make the krashim, the boards of the Mishkan, from Atzei Shitim, omdim. And the Gemara darshins, well, of course they're omdim. You can't make boards, can't make the walls of the Mikdash lying down. What does it mean, omdim? That they should be standing, derech gedilasan. That's the way you craft the wood from the... from the Atzei Shitim, from the Pimsenholz, like we translated in third grade, the Pimsenholz. So how many halachas does it really apply to? So it applied to the Krushim, and we only know it applies to the Lulav. That the Arbaminim have to be Derech Gedilasan. That if you take the Lulav upside down, you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. Okay? But he says he makes it like a broad Mitzvah. Kol HaMitzvos Kulon. Can you think of any other mitzvah which uses something that grows from the ground? And we'd have to worry about...
Gordon.
What?
Gordon.
But what do you do with the mitzvah? You bring the fruit in a basket. Okay, so... Okay, see... Okay.
The crushing themselves, you couldn't make it like crushed wood. Maybe because you'd have to use wood cut...
Correct. No, that's exactly what they had to do. I know. Besides from the crushing and the alulav, think of another mitzvah to which he makes his kolam mitzvahs kulon. Like there are 50 mitzvahs to which it applies. It's hard to think of him five to which this rule would apply. Davar acher, another interpretation. Omdin. Tanya nami hachi atzei shitim omdin sheomdin derech gedilasan davar acher omdin shemaamidin es tzipuyon shemaamidin es tzipuyon, meaning that the boards have to be strong enough to hold its decorations, because in Parshas Truma it says ves hakrashim titzapeh zahav. So what they did was they did not just pour gold on the top of it. They had a full plate, a tas, a panel of gold, which was fastened into the krushim, and the krushim had to be strong enough to hold themselves up, but also to hold up the weight of this gold plate that was used as the decorative aspect of the krushim. So the Omdin tells you that they have to be sufficiently powerful, shema'amidim, that they can support the gold as well. So it's got to be a pretty heavy piece of lumber. Davar acher Omdin, shema tomar avad sivram ubatel sichuyan. Talmud loimar atzei shitim omdin sheomdim leolam ulomei olamim. I could have imagined that once the Ohel Moed came to an end, or the Beis HaMikdash comes to an end, our protection, divine protection, also comes to an end. So therefore the Pasuk says, no, Atzei Shittim Oimdim. These Atzei Shittim of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan, are not only functioning to house the Shechina when they are physically up, but even if the Mishkan has been down, but the presence of the Shechina is li'oybe olamein. Okay, very nice. Omer olam. Omar Rab Yirmiya Mishum Rab Shimin Mirchai. Here come statements which are hard to digest from a Musar point of view. From a Musar point of view. Omar Rab Shimin Bar Yochi. Yochal ani liftor es kol ha'olam kulo min adin miyom shinivresi ad ata. I could protect all of the world from any judgment in the world to come, from Gehenna, from the day that I was born until now. That's how much merit I have accrued. To protect not only myself, but every single human being on this planet, from the day that I was born until now, I can protect them. V'ilmole Eliezer b'ni imi, and if my son Eliezer were with me, miyom shenivra ha'olam ad achshav, we could protect all of the citizens of the world from the day that the world was created from any burning in Gehenna. Not bad. V'ilmole Yosam ben Uziyahu imanu, had Yosam the son of Uziyahu been with us, miyom shenivra ha'olam ad sofa, not only could we protect all the citizens of the world from the creation until today, but from the beginning of the world's creation all the way until the end of time. That's how meritorious the three of us were. Now, I say it's a little difficult for the Musar. For Musar, it sounds like he's bragging a little. So, I don't know. I spent some time trying to figure out what Rabbi Kiveger wants. I always told you. Rabbi Kiveger tells you to look something up, look it up. So Rabbi Kiveger says, look at Avos de Rav Nasan. That's what I photostated it for you. Perek Tet Zayin of Avos de Rav Nasan. And there's only one statement in Avos de Rav Nasan of the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochi. Rabbi Avos de Rav Nasan is a big, it's like Maseches Avos, but a lot bigger than six prakim, like 40 prakim in Avos de Rav Nasan, and lots of Musar and so on and so forth. So the only comment of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is found on the right hand column of the page that I photostated for you, in the about 8 to 10 lines from the top. Actually, we'll start 5 lines from the top. And you try to explain it to me, because I can't understand what's he want me to look at this for. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi Omer, Emshol Lecho Mashol, Yetzer Hara Dome L'Shnei Bnei Adam Shenichnesu L'Pundik. Two people, the Yetzer Hara is compared to two people who went into a hotel. Echad nitfas, lepudik echad, to one hotel. Nitfas echad mishmehem, mishum listos. One of them, the cops, the FBI came and seized him because he was involved in thievery. Amru lo bi imcha, so when they seized him, they asked him, do you have any accomplices with you? Anybody with you? Yochol hu shiomar lo hayoi mi chaviri. He could have said, I'm here alone. He was downstairs buying a Coke at the Coke machine. He could have said, I'm alone. And that would have been it. But what did he say? Ela omer hoil va'ani neherag yehore chaviri imi. Since I'm going to be killed, might as well have my friend be killed too. So he snitched on his friend. This is how the Yetzer Hara operates. Kach ome Yetzer Hara. Hovil an ve'ani avud l'olam haba. Since I will never merit a share in the world to come, I'll take everybody down with me.
I can't get into Toilet Mahava, you can't get into Toilet Mahava. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said. Rab Shimon ben Yochi Omer, and this, I think this is what Rab Kivayga wants me to look at, because it's Rab Shimon ben Yochi, Mikan She'ein Yisrael Ro'im Pnei Gehenim Le'olam. From here I can say that the Jews will never see the face of Gehenom. Now, what does he mean? Now, here comes his mashal. Mishalom mashal l'mahadav adoyimim, l'melech basav adam, shahoyelo sode ziburis. He had a field which was the poorest quality field. If you learn Bava Kamma, we know that you give three different types of fields. Ibis, the best, Beinonis, ordinary, and ziburis, garbage. Bo'u b'nei adam v'hiskiruha be'aseret kurin chitin b'shana. So a group of people came to this king and decided to rent the land from him in return for what? To pay him 10 kur of chitin a year. Zibluha, they fertilized it. Edruha, they got the rocks. Hishkua, they water. Kishuha, v'lo hichnisu mimena el bor echad chitin. Bashan. All they were able to produce is what? One kur of chitin. Amalahem hamelech, nahuzeh. What's going on here? You promised me 10 barrels of grain, and you give me only one? Amrulo, adoneinu hamelech. Ata yodeya basode, shenasatolonu, shemitchila lo hichnasta mimena klum. What did you get out of this field before we came? Nothing. Zero. The achshav shibzibalnuha vikiya ubiyitchanuha vishkinuha mayim lohichnasnu mimenu elokurechad bilvachit bilvach. Kach asidim Yisrael loymar lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono shel Olam. Ata yodea b'yetzer hara shehu meisis bino. Okay? That's what Rav Shimon bar Yochai said. No, he influences his son. He tries to what? Meses umediya. He encourages you to do what? To do wrong. To encourage him. Okay? Now, why is Rav Kibbega telling us to look at this Gemara? Rav Kibbega said, Ayein, Avos, the Rav Nassan, Perek de Zayin. This is, obviously it's got something to do with Rav Shimon bar Yochai. That's where he sent us. It's on the comment. Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, had I been around, if not with me, I can protect, my merit is good enough to what? To protect everybody. So what I think Rav Kivega is saying is as follows. Rav Shimon bar Yochai is not a boaster. It's not a bagaiva. Saying, my merit. What Rav Kivega is saying is, it's the argument with Rav Shimon bar Yochai presents on our defense. What does he present our defense? He presents an argument in our defense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you created us. But what are we? We're nothing. We're absolutely nothing. Zero. We're like that piece of land which can't produce anything. And we work and we work and we work and we work. With all our work, what do we accomplish? We get one kur of chitin. Despite the fact that we all work. Who prevents us from accomplishing a little more? Who prevents us? The Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is what prevents us from accomplishing more. So therefore, you know what? Don't blame us. Blame the Yetzer Hara. So what I think Rav Kivayga wants us to do is not to look at Rav Shimon bar Yochai as saying he's such a bad guy. If I be here, the whole world could be protected. How does Rav Shimon bar Yochai protect all of us from Gehenna? Based on the fact, the argument, he's saying, we're up against very tough odds. We're up, and in light of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's comment, it's the two guys. One guy gets caught, he says, I'll drag you all down. So the Yetzer Hara says, look, I'm never getting into Olam Haba.
I'll drag you down as well. Perhaps that's what he has in mind. Unless you can think of something else better, please let me know. I don't have a good handle, but that's, I don't know. I don't know what else he wants me to think about, but I say, I try to listen to Rabbi Kibbe. He tells you to look someplace, you look at it.
It was hard to deal with the other people involved with, you know, like that argument really, you know,
what
do I need the other players, you know, the Bit the Sun, the Yosan.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And Yosan, the son of Yossi, the marshal, everybody says this. Uziyahu was a leper. And as a result, when he had Saras, he was sent out of Yerushalayim. So his son Yosam took over for him. And despite the fact that he was king, he never pronounced and identified himself as the king. And all of the decrees that were made, he issued them in the name of his father, Uzziyahu. So because of his enormous humility, that he could have acted as king and chose not to do so, so therefore he was a tremendous tzaddik, and so that's why Rabbi Shimon bar Yochi would say, let's join up with him, join up with me. Yeah. I'm not sure, I don't know. The simple reading seems to say it's just his merit, his merit. Well, again, weiter. Omar Chizkia, Omar Rab Yirmi, Mishum Rab Shim Ben Yochi. Ve'isi b'nei aliyah, ve'hein mu'atin. Im elef hein, ani u'banai mehen. I see that the people who have aliyah, b'nei aliyah, the people who have really close contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There may be 1,000 people who have such close contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And me and my son, we're 1 in 1,000. In Meyahim, if there are only 100 people who have close access, contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aniyu B'ni Mehen. We're 1 in 100. Im Shnayim Hein, if there are only 2 people who have close contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aniyu B'ni Hein. It's me and my son. We're the 2. Ask the Gemara, Umi Zutri Kolayhai. Is mean that there's so few people who have direct access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? For Ha'oma Rava, Tamni Sari Alfe Doraheva the Kama Kuchi Barichu. There have been 18,000 people or generations of people who stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shine Emar Saviv Shmona Asa Elef. For 18,000 people. So what's he talking about if there are 1,000? There are 18,000. So to him to be one of the 2 out of 18,000, it's not such a great thing. Not such a big thing. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Ha de mistakle be espaklaria hameira. Ha de lo mistakle be espaklaria hameira. Can't really explain this, but espaklaria meira means with a clear vision. They see exactly what's doing at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKavod, and they really see it. That's the 1,000. The 18,000 is aspaklaria she'ena mi'ira. They're in the neighborhood, but they don't really get to see. They're peeking in through the outside of the stadium. They see something they really don't know. They don't have tickets to get it. They're not sitting in the legend seats. So they're sitting up in the nosebleed alley someplace in the upper deck. And they don't really have a good sight of what's happening. Those are the 18,000. Ask the Gemara. Ude mistakle be aspaklaria meira mi zutri kolayhai. You mean to tell me the people who are sitting in the legend seats, there's so few of them? Only 1,000? V'homer Abaye lo pochos alma mitlosin vishita tzadike de mekabli ape shchina b'chol yoyim. There's no less than Lamed Vavdiks. 36 a day. You multiply that 365 times some 36, you get plenty of people who have this aspaklaria meira. Answers the Shene'emar, Ashrei kolchoche lo. How fortunate it is those who visit with him. Lo bigamatria tlosin vishita heva. Lo 36 is so you know that there lamed vovniks. So how can you say there's only 1,000? Answers the Gemara: Ha da aili bebar, ha da aili belobar. So here's the situation: the 1,000, they have tickets to the legend seats. The other Lamed Vavniks, they only go, they go without permission. They come into the legend seats, but they don't really have permission to sit there. So they're not on such a high level. Yes, they get to see Aspatlaria Meira, but they don't really have permission to come in all the time. The other guys, the 1,000, have permission to walk in all the time.
Could it be the other way? That they need permission to go in, the other guys don't need permission because they can go in whenever they want?
Yes, you're right. That's the way Rashi says. They don't need permission. They don't need permission. They don't have to ask permission. That's the way Rashi learns it. And Shimon ben Yochai said, me and my son, we wanted 1,000. We don't need permission. We can walk in anytime we want.
He's talking about in his generation or of all time?
All time. Of all time. Of all time. Now, Rav Shimon ben Yochai had this condescending attitude towards plain people. We know that when he came out of the cave after spending years together with his son, you know, he sees this guy working on the field and he looks at him and he burns up. And what did the Malach tell him? Get back into the cave. Get back into the cave. And there was and that's when the Gemara quotes the whole debate between Rabbi Shmuel and him. What should be our task in this world? Says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, just follow me and my son. Everybody should be in Kailul all day and all night, just learning Torah, says the Gemara. Harbe asu k'Rav Shimon bar Yochai v'lo osa b'yadam. They didn't succeed. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, you have to go out and work, and of course learn as well. And harbe asu k'Rav Shmuel v'osa b'yadam. V'osa b'yadam. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue with another, we'll shtikel agadata, and then we'll wrap it up. Bishas petirasa and mahein oimrin. When they leave the mizbeach after the aravah ceremony, what do they say? So the Mishnah said that they said yofi lecha. Rabbi Lezer said liya ulecha mizbeach, liya ulecha mizbeach. To you, and to Hakadosh Baruch Hu mizbeach. Asked the Gemara, how can you put you in the same name, same neshima achas, you and HaKadosh Baruch liya ulecha? May God be blessed and you be blessed. How do you mishtatev shem shamayim? V'ha'ka mishtatev shem shamayim v'dover acher? V'tanya kol ha'mishtatev shem shamayim v'dover acher ne'ekar min oilom shene'emar bilti l'ashem levado. Says the Gemara, make a little change. Hachi ka'amar. Liya anachnu modim. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say thank you. Ulicha, and you to the Mizbeach, anu mishabchem. But it's not that you're saying it in one phrase, that you and the Mizbeach are to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Mizbeach are to be praised. Hachi ka'amar. Liya anachnu modim, ulicha anu mishabchem. Liya anachnu modim, ulicha anu mikalsin. So you split up the verbs. It's not that you're saying the same thing to the Mizbeach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're not permitted to offer any tribute when you mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same time. Rab Chaim came to a halachic conclusion based on this, not to recite a piyut on Simchas Torah. Which piyut did Rab Chaim refuse to sing based on this Gemara? Mipi El. Why did he refuse to say Mipi El? Because what does it do? It highlights who? Mipiel. Yivarach Yisrael. Ein adir kashem. Ein keben amram. In the same pasuk, ein adir kashem v'ein some keben amram. Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same sentence? Not allowed to do so. So Rabbi Chaim and Brisk said, you can sing anything you want, but no Ein Adir in my shul, because it violates this idea of Mishatev Shem Shemayim V'Davar Acher. So as a result, instead of the Hakafas taking 7 minutes, they took only 6 minutes after that. Because if you go around twice, that was Hoyland's already. That was really joking around. Once, that was Hoyland's already. For Chaim. All right, we'll stop here, and we'll continue. And next week, if people come, and I'm willing to give a share next Monday night. We can do something on Yoni Pesach. Okay? You got it.